Thank you guys for worship. Love those songs. You guys take your time getting where you need to go. I'm just going to start talking. Something that Jerry just said kind of clicked for me, and I'm going to take off on a direction I wasn't exactly going to go, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. He talked about how, you know, this week, what this week means, what we know in having read it and even seen it in, you know, the way Mel Gibson portrayed it anyway in The Passion, which really brought it to life for me, just the horror of it. But what Jesus was about to go through this week, what he was going to suffer, and how it went down. It's just mind-boggling. But it made me, when he said that, I thought, whoa, that's Hebrews 5, 8 and 10, or 8 at least, it says, and that verse says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Now, we know Jesus was the Son of God, and he was perfect in that he did only what the Father was doing and authorized for him to do. He walked out his life in submission to the Father. Could have done whatever he wanted to do, but that's what he wanted to do. However, it was also true that he was human, and he had a soul that didn't enjoy pain any more than you or I do, and didn't want to suffer that week. And that's what he said in the cross, or in the garden. So, what Jesus went through, we know that perfection was in him, but that the test, that to test your mettle is what life does. And what comes to the surface is the suffering. And so it's a battle between the spirit and the soul within a human's life. Which one is stronger? And what Jesus suffered that week, you know, many of us, what it proves clearly is that he was a spirit man. He was a spirit-controlled being, and his soul was completely underneath and in submission to the leadership of his spirit and what his Father said to do, who was spirit, and they had become one. But man, that was severely tested. Can you imagine? I mean, we're all, you know, we all have, our souls are very complicated. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. Those are the two major portions of your inner man that kind of overlap, so to speak, is the way that I have learned it. Hebrews 4, you know, that's just to bring that passage in. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, that's where the thoughts and the intentions come from, is from that inner man, where those two are overlapping. Now, we know that God created us originally to be spirit-controlled beings, but when he removed his spirit after the fall, the soul just leapt up into that position of leadership, and that's what we're all left with, is our own understanding, making choices in life. So when God reintroduces the Spirit, sanctification is what that is, being set apart unto God. That is a trusting in the Lord. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Spirit of God and his leadership, not in your own understanding. So that's the battle that's going on between the spirit and the soul, so to speak. And it's not that the soul's bad. It's just, it wasn't created to lead. It was created to be an instrument that the life of God fills and brings to life. and it yields and submits in loving trust. Of course, the enemy uses the what we call the flesh, that attitude, that do-it-your-own-way, my-mine-now attitude that works on the soul and through the soul. The soul's not bad, though. It just doesn't need to lead. So what Jesus goes through in this coming week is this severe trial or testing of testing his mettle. What's in there? What are you really? I mean, when the screws, because we can all say these things. I'll do this and I'll do that. If I got in that situation, this is what I'd do. I'd tell you that right now. We all say those types of things. But when the moment comes, that is the test. And it seems to be the thing that has to take place for all of us, that we are tested. So we're all in this testing mode, this preparation mode for these moments that reveal what's in here. And the Bible even goes on to say nobody knows. You know when it talks about the tares and the wheat? If you know anything about tares and wheat, they look the same. You don't know until that time comes. It's revealed. So Jesus is about to go through this, man, the trial of all trials. You guys know yourself, at least what Mel Gibson portrayed that he went through, the beating, which I don't know, you know, we don't know exactly what it was, but I'd say that's pretty accurate, something like that. Can you imagine the strength, the fortitude that it would take to get through that? Afterwards, whatever those Roman soldiers did to him, some people have suggested they did far worse things when he was with them. Again, we don't know these things. But then having to carry that cross as far as he had to carry it, having lost the amount of blood that he'd lost, and just the psychological beatdown of that. Our souls, you can just go catatonic right there. You know, you can just go into shock just about over anything, and it's over. From some trauma that is just too much. And we would all understand that. If that isn't some of the worst trauma you could ever imagine going through, I don't know what is. And the spirit man of Jesus kept him moving forward to finish the job, to get everything done all the way to the very end. Oh my gosh, it's just amazing to me, this Savior that we serve. He just is, the more I think about a God, you know, God as powerful, as awesome as he is, and what he did, the lengths that he goes to prove the purity and the love and the leadership. Oh, it's just amazing to me. And so it makes me want to follow him. I want to follow that. I want to be that type of a person. And so when I see Jesus suffering to that degree, basically he's suffering to that degree to let the world know, this is how good my Father is. There is nothing that I will not do for him. Doesn't matter. It's just an exclamation point on his life. You guys have no idea how good he is. And if I get the opportunity to stand up and do anything to prove to you that he's better than anything you could possibly imagine, I'm going to do that. And he did that. And so that makes me want to begin to lean into the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and know him, and get out of this comfort-based world that I have known for 50 years. This, I want to be comforted, I want to feel good, I want my way, I want this, and I want that, and I want all of these things. After 50 years of struggling with that, just going, you know what, I want to know more about God. I want to begin to learn how to suffer in this world so that I can taste more of what his world is like, the way that Jesus did, the way that Jesus lived. And that comes down to training, conditioning. It's mindset, getting your mindset going in a whole other direction than what I have had it. And this is, tonight I want to share just really, it's things that God's doing in my own life, but I think it pertains to all of us. But as we are, we've been saying that Christ is coming back for a really long time. I hate to be the next generation that says the same thing and he still hadn't come, but the point is that we want more of him instead and less of this world. The world is passing away clearly anyway, or we're passing away from it. One of the two is going to happen, right? So we want to dial into that eternal state, the greater things. And it's really all about being disciplined unto Jesus. One of the foundational stories in Scripture as I think about this thing is the life of Joseph in Psalm 105. It gives a little snippet of Joseph's life, and I've shared this many, many times, and this seems to be my only message, but it's just so important for all of us. Understanding sanctification. In other words, sanctification is getting dialed into our spirit man and trusting in the Spirit of the Lord in his direction and knowing how to hear him and knowing how to follow him, being obedient to him in a loving and trusting manner because we trust him, and letting our soul be weaned from control. That's what sanctification is. Getting things into alignment, spirit-led and the soul following. So Joseph's life in Psalm 105, it gives you this snapshot of it that I have read over and over and over and over. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. You guys know his story. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Okay, now there we go again. That the word of the Lord tested him. It's the same thing. We're talking about testing your metal. We're talking about the fire that refines. We're talking about a scenario in which it's going to be revealed what's in there. What's really in there? Who are you? And all of the Old Testament saints go through this type of a severe process to get to find out, to test their mettle. Who do you trust? What's inside you? And so that word tested there is literally talking about the refiner's fire. I looked it up. I can't remember what the word was, but it was literally talking about the refiner's fire. And you guys know about Joseph's life, you know. It says, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. See, there's two words in there. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word was the dreams that he got when he was a young boy. You know, that everybody's going to bow down to him, and it was showing him his future. It was the word of the Lord. It is the future. As we talked about this morning, God knows the future. He gave him his future in a dream when he's young. That's the word. He just received it like a seed. Now the seed is in there. And now the process begins where the seed begins to take root and begins to take over the person so that he turns into the word. But here in the next verse, it's the word of the Lord that is testing him. So it's God on both sides doing the preparing. And where I'm going tonight is to try to talk a little bit about some things that I have. Again, it's a mindset shift in my own thinking about this testing, about this world, this experience that we're in, this life that is the testing ground. It's just the training ground is what it is. And if you don't know that that's what's happening, if you don't understand that really well, then you're going to have the wrong kind of an attitude, and it's going to be, you know, you're going to be drugged through a knothole backwards. And it's not going to be an enjoyable experience because you're not going to be grateful for it, which gets you closer to the Lord. And the closer to the Lord you can get through these things, the better for you. Because then you get to feel and know Him on the inside. And the pain and suffering that your physical senses may be going through, they don't compare. That's what the Apostle Paul said anyway. He said, it doesn't compare. There's no suffering here that can compare with the glory to be revealed and what I know God to be in me. And you talk about somebody that suffered. I mean, that guy was on a, you couldn't stop him. He just, somebody beat him half to death and he'd just get up and go to the next town. He'd let it happen again. And then he'd make a statement like that. And you're like, what are you talking? That's just, whoa, are you serious? He's serious. God's better than, regardless of whatever suffering that we're going through here. But I want to get my mind wrapped around that, see, because I'm a good Westerner who has grown up in a very good time of American life, so to speak, where nothing much happened. I missed any major wars, you know. It's been pretty good the last 50 years for me. And it's caused me to begin to think that, oh, you know, entitlement, you know. It's easy. We live in a dream world, you know. You have to go do some world travel before you find out we live in a dream world here. It's just craziness. It's not like this other places. And we get our attitude wired. It's hard to obediently follow a God that would have you go through suffering when you're an entitled person who wants to be comfortable all the time. It's not going to work out. You're going to bail on God. And that's the worst thing you want to happen, because I'm like, I want to be yours, God. And he's like, well, get into training and stick with me here. You prove it in that. So just getting the mindset of being chosen and then going through the fire, going through the training. Revelation 19, we see a picture of Jesus that I've turn to pretty often and look at. This is something that John saw. He says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it's called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to be in that army. I want to be a person who has gone through the paces and the process and the conditioning to ride in this army with the commander of the Lord's army. That's God's goal anyway. Romans 8:29 tells us that we're to be conformed into the likeness of the Son of God. Exodus 15 says, the Lord is a warrior, the Lord is his name. And we are in a world at war. It's a spiritual war. It's a serious war. It's very real. And I want to be found to be a person who has given himself to the training that would prepare me to walk with him. And God's just been really dealing with me about that, leading a disciplined life. Discipline is about being disciplined unto, okay? So you're disciplined unto what? Well, I want to be disciplined unto this Jesus right here. Because I'm in a world at war, and I have to get up every day and fight it that way. I see the enemy working on my wife, working on my children, working against me, working all over the place. I see him doing this, and I need to be spiritually awake with a passion in me that knows how to fight. That's not going down the street and punching people in the face. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about spiritual war, just so I'm clear. But to be spiritually awake You have to have gotten the flesh underneath your feet so it's not messing with you all the time and taking you on a ride over here and over there. Ask me how I know about that one, because it'll do that. If you're dialed into it, it'll take you for a ride somewhere you didn't really want to go. And that's a lot of discipline to get these things underneath your feet and stay spiritually awake so that you can be ready to fight when you need to fight and that you know what to do. You've got that spirit of spiritual war going on inside of you. I want to be that. I want to do that. And there's been a guy here the last several years that I've increasingly, I just feel this draw in me. It's in here. The closer that I get to God, the more I'm drawn to these things. And I want to know more about this. And so this particular thing I'm talking about is a Navy SEAL. He's an ex-Navy SEAL, or a former Navy SEAL. I guess they never stopped being one exactly, but he's retired. His name's Jocko Willink. His story is just fascinating to me. He does leadership training now. He does a lot of speaking about leadership. He's not a Christian. However, the code that many of our military branches live by is very moral. And I think it originally was a lot of that stuff, just like our government, came out of Scripture, came out of this, the moral fiber, the standard of righteousness and truth and laying down your life. And so even today, you'll find these codes of honor and these codes of conduct within these branches of the military that these guys really give themselves to, because it works. I mean, it's right. It's true. You can't make up something new true. There's just true. And so I've been reading from him and listening to him and thinking about his life and more, it's like the Lord speaking through not just him, but other Navy SEALs. I don't know why exactly it's Navy SEALs. I think it's because Navy SEALs really lean into training together as teams. They're called teams in the Navy SEAL. They're all about the guy next to them. And they train that way, so there's some real spiritual connotations there, but I'm drawn to it. I'm drawn to that life because the Lord's saying, I want you to spiritually be that way. I want you to take life and training as serious as they do. So I've been listening to Jocko's life, reading his books, just solid stuff, and I've been drawn to it. And it was something through looking at his life and how a Navy SEAL lives that finally began to click to me just in these last few years that has helped me tremendously understand what it is or the attitude that I must have and understanding. I've been chosen in God's army. Thank God. Now training is a part of that. And thank God for that. And I've also been getting to the point where I'm becoming more and more okay with failure. Because, you know, you fail your way into growth. That's the only way it happens. You just are perfect. No, you give it your best, you step into some things, and you fail. And then in the failure, you learn. So that you maybe not do it exactly the same way again, and you grow through the experience. You just keep falling forward and growing stronger as you move through life. And I used to just get so upset. It's almost like, why are you picking on me? Am I not good enough? And it's like, it's so dumb now that I say it, but that's sort of the attitude that I would have. Like, this is so hard. Why is this so hard? Why can't I be better? There's this whiny little something. And so it's like, gosh, I'd really like to just get with the program here and, hey, let's figure out, what do we got to do? Just tell me so I can get my head wrapped around it, because once I got an idea of, okay, this is what I'm about to deal with, I think I can maybe get better at this. And so we're looking at Jocko's life, and I'm going to run through this really quick, but a Navy SEAL is selected because they have to go through a week-long period of time, training period, that's called Hell Week. And Hell Week is just what it sounds like. They don't let them sleep. They run them through team trials. I mean, it's awful. You can watch this stuff. They have documentaries on such things now, but they basically just push these guys beyond the limit. And what they're looking for is for people to quit. They're looking for any weakness they can seize upon, and when they see the weakness, they seize upon it until the guy quits, because they want him to quit, because they're looking for the guy that they can't get to quit. That's what they're looking for. And thank God for standards like that, because we need people in our military who aren't going to quit. Doesn't matter what happens. They have that capacity. They can go to that place in their mind where they just can continue on regardless of how much suffering they're going through. That's not me. I'm not a Navy SEAL type of guy, but thank God there are people like that. It's what we need. And so the standards are extraordinarily high, and we want them to be high. And we want this to be really, really hard, because we want most of the people to be removed so that you can have these few that you can begin to work with. Okay, so that's how a Navy SEAL begins. They go through that week, just a few of them make it out of it. And then after that, and I've read several books from several different Navy SEALs that have helped me understand their world. After that, what a Navy SEAL says is that that's nothing. Hell Week is really not that big of a deal. They begin to train for the rest of their career. That's all they do is train. And the training gets harder and harder and harder. As soon as they get out of Hell Week, they go into a type of training that's an underwater training and they do it team style. So in other words, they do these timed events. They're having to, you know, they're underwater without breathing apparatus. They're having to do these difficult type of tasks, and they're tied to another person who has to get their task done. So right out of the gate, they're trained to do what they do together in high-stress situations where we're talking about life and death type of stuff. I mean, this is no joke. And that's what they do. The rest of their career, they're training. Now, Jocko in particular, why I bring him up and why he's helped me so much, is that he went to the Battle of Ramadi in 2006. It was a Middle Eastern city that ISIS had taken over, and they had to go there and remove ISIS from this city, which can't even begin to tell you how difficult a thing that was. And so what Jocko talks about, and the spiritual parallel here with us, is he talks about there is no training that compares to real war. Because when the fog of war descends, which is a term that they come up with, in trying to explain what happens when bullets start flying and bombs start going off, it's the fog of war. It's complete chaos is what it is. And so the person who has trained for that level of intensity the best can think the best, the clearest, can run whatever objective needs to be run, can come up with the creativity in the moment to do the thing, to tell the people to do what they need to do, to get the job done, to win against the enemy. And we know who ISIS is. I mean, these are awful. The people talk about, these are demon-possessed individuals. They have been taken over, just evil. And so we want to win against people like that. So Jocko Willink had gone over with a SEAL team, and he was the leader of this team, and they lost in that war three of his SEALs. And to a SEAL, Jocko was asked one time in an interview, what's the highest life imaginable? And he said to lay down my life for my brother in battle. And that's Jesus' words, guys. Greater love has no man than this. So, I mean, these guys are close to that moral truth there. I'm not saying they're born again. I'm just saying those are principles of life that are powerful. It comes straight out of Scripture. He lives by that. So when a seal loses a brother, that's the worst thing that they can possibly imagine. It's like losing an arm because they have just trained with this person, suffered with this person for years. They've gone through so much together. There's so much been invested in this other human being that has to do with their life and their ability to conquer the enemy. And so when they lose one, it's devastating. There is not anything worse that they can think of to lose a brother in battle. And he lost three. One of them was a seal that jumped on a loose explosive and just to save the rest of his brothers, because that's the type of thing that they do. They really live this stuff. And so what he said when he came back from that was, there is no training that compares to this. So after Jocko was done with that, he came back stateside and he began to run the SEAL units in training because of what he'd just experienced, because they'd gone a long stretch where they hadn't been in a lot of war, the SEALs hadn't. And so the early 2000s there was where they were getting back into war and really getting into the real thing and learning and growing from it and changing their training and upgrading everything and becoming better. And so he began to get these simulations going that would be as close to that. And so the simulations that he would come up with were just ridiculously hard. The entire point was to expose the weakness, not to just watch it, you know, let me set something easy up here so they can just rock and roll and get out and say, oh gosh, you all are awesome. That's not the point. The point is expose any and all weakness. Every training event is to expose weakness. Why? Because as they fail, now they can make adjustments and grow so that they don't fail again. Not only that, they're practicing as close to the fog of war as they can, because they'll throw all kinds of chaotic events at them and they have to think on their feet strategically and creatively to overcome those obstacles. And they're doing it on purpose. For what? Because war is coming and we want them to win and live in war. See, that's the whole point. And once I began to put all this stuff together, I just began to see, oh God, that's what you're doing with us. Because every day, my weaknesses are exposed in any number of ways. I mean, I can't tell you the long list of things that I'm falling short in being a father or being a husband or being anything. Just being a son of God on this earth representing Jesus Christ. And if you, this is why I'm saying this to you guys. Things are not going to get easier. I can assure you of that. They're going to get harder. So this is not the time to ask God to pray, God, make it easier. He's not going to answer that prayer. We have to have more skills. We have to have a greater mindset. We have to get ourselves in the position where we are prepared to do whatever we have to do. And we've got to have as good an attitude as we possibly can gain. See, that's mindset. And this mindset for me helped me understand, oh, he's supposed to be exposing these things in me. Now, I'm already bought and paid for. I'm his. There's no changing that. He's not kicking me out of the family because of any of these things. He's just training me up so that I am better prepared in the things that are to come. And that's his love and his care for me. And so when I can stay in a state of worship and gratitude while I'm failing, can you see how that would be incredibly beneficial? You're going to grow through that. Imagine a Navy SEAL going through training and them coming out whining about how hard it was and getting angry at the guy that came up with it. And I'm out of here. Can you imagine that? But here's the thing with the Navy SEAL. They chose this life. This is what they wanted to do. They knew what they were getting into. They understood what it was going to cost them. They understood what they were going to be called to do. And they said, I want to do that. And I hope that you have determined the same thing about as God chose you, you've chosen him back and say, this is what I want to do. I want in this training. I want you to show me how to grow. I want to understand how do I get my spirit bigger, and how do I let the Word of God divide asunder soul from spirit? How do I let the Spirit of God fill my human spirit in such a way that I become a pneumaticos, a spirit-controlled being, which is our potential. That's the invitation. God calls us into a divine life, which is incredible. And all of the training is just to increase that. But you can have a bad attitude and just stop all progress. Ask me how I know that one. And that's just dumb, isn't it? I mean, it's understandable, but it's dumb. So we've got to wake up to what is happening and what's going on. And so I'm just leaning into suffering these days and training, disciplining myself in all areas and having a good attitude about the things that God's showing me. Let me give you one verse, and we got to... got the kids downstairs. I'm ever mindful of them nowadays, so some down there. Psalm 73, I found this in David's Psalms. And David was a guy, he was up and down and up and down. He had severe training that he went through his whole life, and he had good days and bad days. Some days he was whining about it and complaining and crying and asking God to, you know, and then other days he's on top of the world. He's very human. This particular day, he's having a rough day. And it says, Psalm 73, 14, he says, for I've been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. And I when I read that with this new mindset, I was like, yes, that's the training. David's going through this training. He's stricken every day. It's coming at him from every direction. He's having to deal with these things, and he's being drawn closer to the Lord. He's in training. See, he's chastened every morning for godliness. He's trained by the master for self-mastery. See, all of his insufficiencies are coming out. These surrendered weaknesses exposed. That's the whole point, guys. Isn't that what happens when you go into the refiner's fire? The impurities come to the surface. That's the entire purpose. When we understand that purpose, that process, and we let that occur, and we repent, we take off and we put on, we're just being purified. And we're stronger, and we're greater, and we're walking with the Lord in the training with gratitude and worship. Now, life is difficult, and there's no saying there isn't. But man, we can go through it in the right mindset. So Philippians 3:10, let me finish with that. It's a verse I've just kept on my heart here in this season of time. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Man, that is a powerful verse. See, we're saying no to the comforts of this world because they're less than and they're passing away. We're not leaning into that. That's not where this is going. We're leaning into where we're going in the Lord. We're saying no to the flesh, no to our feelings. I've determined, I've lived my whole life asking this stupid question. Paul, how do you feel? You just got to stop asking that question. It has nothing to do with anything. What has God said? That's the question. Trust in him. Guys, if y'all recognize your feelings come and they go, they're up and they're down, but they're always moving. If you'll just hang in there, it'll go away. Let the word of God fill us and become a constant, steady sun with a steady hand and with a heart that's refined and like Christ, who set his face like a flint towards the cross. And you know what he did at that cross? He took his soul to the cross. Not my will, but thine be done. Because he was a spirit man. And that's what we are. Joey, as your team comes up, we'll finish up here. Just want to encourage you guys to get into the mindset of growth. We have access to God, and he is an all-powerful spirit who wants to fill you with a river of delight. Man, it's an incredible, incredible invitation. God, we want to understand it more. Open the eyes of our hearts, Father. Help us to understand that you've chosen us. And now that we have chosen you back, we've been enrolled into the greatest army that's ever been assembled. It's the army of light. It's the army of truth with the sword of the Spirit. Father, we're so grateful. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. Help us to have the mindset of growing in the Lord by having our insufficiencies and our weaknesses exposed. Lord, help us to understand that. Help us to live in gratefulness and gratitude and worship through it, Lord, so we can grow even faster. Give us a desire for your word that we would feast upon it, which strengthens our spirit, man. Lord, draw us close and discipline us unto the commander of the Lord's army, Jesus Christ. Father, we're just so grateful, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If we'll stand, we'll have a time of invitation here. Anything that you would like prayer for, please come down. We'd love to do that for you. Any decisions?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live.
Headed into a wonderful week, I'd just encourage you to think about the days ahead if you were Jesus, knowing what was coming up. And just recognize you don't have to do that the way that he did. But you do have to take your soul to the cross the same way he did and deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. So that helps you worship to know, God, thank you for going through that. Thank you for paying that price so that we can be filled with you, Lord. Was that an amen over there? That was organ talk. Amen. All right, guys, you're blessed. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.